Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news is not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2:19-22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling, habitation of God in the Spirit. We're going to talk today about a lot of stuff, and we're going to get into the whole child trafficking epidemic later today. And one of the interesting parts about that, before I get started, we're going to have an expert on the show about this today, is watch for projection. So people that try to project onto others, maybe they're involved, maybe they're doing something themselves. And we've talked about this on the show before. The mainstream media, the legacy media, the corporate media in Great Britain, in the United States, Hollywood, where have they really been on this issue? Have they really been at the forefront? Or has there been stories, for example, that have been spiked, hidden? Stories, for example, Travis, like a certain person's laptop. It has very disturbing images on it. Could it be some of these things were done intentionally? Well, it's going to be proven in court either way. But these are good questions to ask as we talk about this horrendous epidemic that's happening. And there's a movie that I'm going to talk about that I was tipped off to a while ago, and I watched it, and it is absolutely horrendous, but really starts, I think, the conversation on this issue. And it teaches you what to look for and how easy it is for young people to fall victim to human trafficking. So we're going to talk about this here in a second. I want to also mention something about Ukraine. And I have not brought this up before because I've not heard anybody talk about it before. I was having lunch with a pastor friend of mine today, and it's very clear that this looks like one of the hidden reasons for what happened in the war in Ukraine. So, very clearly, there must have been some sort of assurances made to Vladimir Putin by the West. Some of them were very public, essentially giving him the green light. And we talked about those on this show here almost 2 months ago. But one of the key things that is missed is this. So, Poland is a predominantly Catholic country. When I say predominantly, it is a vast majority Catholic country. You're talking like 80-90%. Russia is predominantly, right now, a Russian Orthodox country. Now, we've talked about on the show before that the Russian Orthodox Church was heavily infiltrated by the KGB, and that it led to a church split in 1963 between the Confessing Church and the church that had been taken over by the KGB. So in Ukraine, you see some interesting things. You see the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, because they want to split away from that. But you also see in Ukraine something very interesting, and a lot of people don't know this. Now, we were part of this movement when we went to Kyiv 3 years ago. There is a huge revival that had occurred and is occurring in Ukraine, but it started back then, and Ukraine has a very, very large Protestant population, Baptist, Pentecostal primarily, some non-denominational, but there was revival happening. We saw it happening in Kyiv. We were part of one of the revivals that was there, and it was packed. The place was packed out. And so this explains quite a bit about how Ukrainians kept their value system in the midst of chaos. So you'd see stores that weren't being manned, but people were leaving money there while they were taking goods from the store, how looters were treated and cracked down upon by the indigenous population. But it also explains something else. The European Union stated certain conditions for coming in, and some of these conditions are accepting the whole same-sex marriage, LGBT, whatever line, and the whole line about this needs to be taught to kids. These things were kind of undercurrents. When we went there in Kyiv, people were talking about this. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They rejected it. And so you have this interesting situation now where at the very start of this, it seems like the West gave Putin the green light. Putin goes in, you have two Slavic peoples fighting, Christian churches particularly being destroyed. And you got to ask yourself, is there a spiritual component here? Because there was a huge revival going on. And by the way, the enemy tries to crush the revival, but what actually happens is, as they try to blow out the flames actually are fanned and get larger and larger because people now want to know Jesus Christ because they've been faced with the horrible specters that are attendant to war. So, is it possible that one of the reasons all of this happened was because of the huge Christian presence in Ukraine? And especially that increase that was happening over the last few years. Nobody that I know of is really talking about this, at least publicly. But I think it's something to bring up today, that do we have that kind of revival here in the United States of America? What would we do in crisis? Would we actually love our neighbors? Would we actually help to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, even with war? So there's a broader World War III and the United States is pulled into it. Are we ready to do this? Are we really being a habitation of Jesus Christ, his hands and his feet? That's really the question, I think, for us today. And again, it raises that interesting specter. Was part of this really because Ukraine was having revival? Well, I'm going to move next to your daily intelligence briefing. Let me talk about a couple things first. The video. So Travis created the movie Groomed. Award-winning movie on human trafficking. I would urge everybody, go watch it. It's, 17 minutes. It's totally worth the time. Go watch this. Share it with your friends and family. And it outlines a lot of ways to be safe and to recognize certain signs of somebody that might be a target of human traffickers and child traffickers. So check this movie out, Groomed, and I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the briefing. All right, we're going to talk today and start in Ukraine. So Travis, if we could pull up the map right now, I want to give you guys probably the best map that I've seen. The Ukrainian military has been on a huge offensive across the entire north, central, and south part of Ukraine. It looks like the Russians right now are regrouping in the east for an offensive themselves in the Donbas region. But as you can see right now, the Ukrainians have cleared most of north, central Ukraine, and that actually is continuing today. Down in the south, they are on an offensive toward Mykolaiv and also toward Kherson City to clear that of Russian troops. So you can see the massive advances here just in the last few days by the Ukrainian military. And again, focusing on the north, focusing on the south, and then the Russians are regrouping in the east, and it looks like they're going to try an offensive in the area of Luhansk, Mariupol, and Donetsk. Now, the important part about Mariupol is they're trying to create a land bridge with Crimea, as you can see right there. You see Mariupol, then Berdyansk. Berdyansk is actually kind of a smaller town. And then Melitopol, and then right south of that, you can see Crimea. There's a reason they want that land bridge, and that is obvious. But also, their whole strategy eventually is to come to the Dnieper River, and everything east of that is Russia. That is a natural geographic barrier. We've talked about this on the show many times, but I want to call your attention to it. If you see where Kherson City is and then go up toward where Zaporozhye is and then Dnipro, and that's DN if you're looking for it, Dnipro, and then up to Kiev, that is the Dnieper River right there. And so it's a perfect natural barrier to split Ukraine, and that's really what the Russians want to do. So as you see this offensive taking place, note that that is really their goal, is to have at first that land bridge in the south, and then second, to come all the way to the Dnieper River. Now, Kharkiv, Ukraine, you see there, that second largest city in Ukraine, they have effectively removed the Russian troops and invaders from that area. Now, people are still talking about being pro-Putin, and I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to get into a few battle damage assessments here real quick. Why would you side with a communist dictator who's tied to the World Economic Forum? Why not side with the people of Ukraine who have a right of self-defense against communism? And understand that the New World Order on the West side and the New World Order on the East side are fighting it out right now, but the people in Ukraine have a right of self-defense. And oh, by the way, they want to drag the United States into World War III. And everybody that sides with the Russians, they're going to call traitors and use that as an excuse to round up later. I mean, this is the narrative. Don't fall into the narrative trap. Don't do it. And it's not just enough to be reflexively anti-pretender. You can't just be reflexively anti-pretender, because that can get really dangerous, because sometimes they're actually telling the truth about certain things. Yes, it might be the first time in a while, but they're doing it. Another thing that I want to talk about, and I've maintained this for years, I talked about this actually in the military when we studied Soviet doctrine and Soviet military history. You see how bad it was for them in Afghanistan, and at any given time, they were about a third of their maintenance, or their fleet was down for maintenance. About a third of their troops are down for health reasons. So you look at 25 to 30% of a military down for maintenance reasons. I mean, that is a failure of logistics. And so right now, the latest battle damage assessments, now this is coming from Euromaidan Press, but they have seemed to be the most accurate so far. You see 19,000 Russian dead, 700 tanks, I want you to key on that number, and then almost 1,900 armored personnel carriers. And then if you add up all of the various artillery systems, you're almost at 500 artillery systems. Now, I want to bring in real numbers. A battalion tactical group in the Russian military has about 10 tanks and 40 armored personnel carriers. So if I just look at these numbers, they are approaching 70 battalion tactical groups that are either completely destroyed or totally combat ineffective. Now, some analysts say there's 175 battalion tactical groups, some say 150, some say 125. Regardless of which one it is, when you approach 40% of your military being combat ineffective, you're actually approaching your military becoming combat ineffective. And so it very clearly looks like this might be one last push of the Russians in the east to try to do this. Now, here's the important part to understand, the Russian mindset. They believe there can only be one grand king, right? One grand prince, as they say. And that grand prince is infallible. He's never wrong. So Putin, yes, may have some negative opinion at home, but there are also a lot of people, especially in the older generation of Russians, that are watching the news over there and believing some of the propaganda. Now, some of the younger Russians are actually looking out on the internet, getting the truth on certain things, and they don't want to be a part of any war. But candidly, where the distraction and the disinformation is, that Russia would never use nuclear weapons or would never be dragged into a nuclear war, when that's exactly what the New World Order wants. They want World War III so that they can try to implement a one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religion, whatever that even means, one world religion. I don't even know what that even would mean, but whatever. That's what their plan is. We come against that in Jesus' name. The distraction is not understanding that right now the Russians are being pushed into a corner just from objective military standards. And their missile forces and their anti-aircraft forces are the only things that have really performed well in this entire conflict. So if they're being pushed into this, this is increasing actually the likelihood of a broader war. And many of the people I talk to in Eastern Europe believe they're already in World War III. Now, whether that's 2 months from now or 2 years from now is candidly irrelevant. And as we had Joel Skousen on the show, China invading Taiwan is really kind of the next big thing to look for, or something happening between Israel and Iran. China invading Taiwan, whatever the U.S. response is, if the U.S. responds, that increases dramatically the likelihood that North Korea will invade South Korea to tie up the U.S. military, and then within a couple of weeks, the likelihood of a nuclear exchange targeted at military installations raises very, very high. Again, this is just objective looking at geostrategic indicators. I want to talk about a couple others. This coming to us from a great new open source intelligence, that's actually what it's called, Twitter page. Media in Finland are reporting that the nation will attempt to join NATO later this year. So Finland looks like they're setting the stage to join NATO. So is that going to increase the likelihood of continued conflict? Well, many people are acting like they're almost like they're already at war again in Eastern Europe. So understand the mindset here. They view this as already being World War III. In addition to that, this is interesting. The United States has confirmed it sent 100 Switchblade drones to Ukraine. So what the United States is doing is using Ukraine as a proxy to test out its drone capabilities right now. Ukrainian forces are continuing to advance toward Kherson, while Russian forces are massing near Kherson and throughout the Donbass as a major offensive appears to be ready. Talk about another thing that's here as well. It's interesting. The United States, it appears, has extended a lend-lease program. Now, the Senate, United States Senate, unanimously adopted a bill to extend a lend-lease program to Ukraine for military equipment and supplies. Again, eerily similar to World War II. Britain's already fighting World War II, and we're giving lend-lease, and then we're dragged into it. The Senate also unanimously voted to remove Russia's favored nation status and to suspend trade relations. That brings us also to Ramadan, and you got to understand Islamic timelines. Ramadan, typically there's a ramp up in violence in the Middle East, and now there has been multiple terror attacks in Israel. Another one, two dead, 14 badly hurt, shooting attack on Tel Aviv's Dizengoff Street. Gunman still at large. Coming to us from Debka File, just another indicator that things are heating up over there, but you got to put it in the context of Ramadan. This is when typically violence would ramp up in that area of the world. Going to shift gears just a little bit. Very interesting article coming to us from Populist Press. J6 defendant acquitted. On Wednesday, a federal judge acquitted January 6th defendant on all charges after ruling that the New Mexico man reasonably believed he was allowed to enter the Capitol building during the protest against the 2020 election results after being let in by United States Capitol Police officers. I believe that this case against Matthew Martin is the first, is kind of a spark. Now they've recognized it in court that these protesters were led into the Capitol. They're going to have a very, very hard time with prosecuting the rest of them. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually do the right thing with this. All right. Also on the national front, and a little bit on the global front too, coming to us from Technocracy News, war on cash losing ground as circulating currency doubles in 10 years. $2.2 trillion of circulating cash. Now, this goes against the conventional wisdom that cash was being taken out of circulation. Now, some of it was. $2.2 trillion is interesting. This on the heels of President Biden's latest executive order calling for extensive research on digital assets and a U.S. central bank digital currency, which we've been talking about for years. That is the direction they want to go, is this digital currency. And very likely they would use an economic downturn to usher in this control mechanism. So clearly the economic downturn that's happening right now does have some intentional and foreseeable consequences. Also want to talk about some positive news coming out of Republic Brief, Kenosha County. This is Wisconsin. After the BLM riots and all the things that happened up in Kenosha, elects a Republican for the first time in decades. And the red wave just seems to be starting. But here, this is so critical. I've got to say this right now. It's not just enough to vote for somebody that's so-called conservative. And people are like, are you Matt Shea conservative? Are you Travis Plunkett conservative? Who? What kind of conservative are you? Well, here's the deal. Conservative is not the same as constitutional. We need to be voting for people that are constitutional. Now, I voted consistently constitutionally. I had the best conservative voting record in the legislature, and that was from objective reports. That's what we should be looking for. So when somebody says, are you a Matt Shea conservative? Are you not, because he voted for the Constitution? I mean, that's the standard. So what are you saying when you say that? Are you saying you don't want to vote and support the Constitution? And so we have to be asking candidates in this season, from a Christian perspective, do you support the Constitution? Do you support religious liberty? Do you support truth that God made them man and woman, and that the presence or absence of a Y chromosome determines gender as a matter of biological fact? That is what is at the core of this. It's not enough to vote on the right side or something like that. These have to be candidates that are willing to stand for the Constitution, and more importantly, are willing to sacrifice to defend the Constitution, religious liberty, this great country. Willing to stand up against fake news. A lot of fake news out there right now. Which brings us next to another article from Republic Brief, Biden diverting veteran medical care to treat illegal migrants instead. Representative Josh Hawley from Missouri says President Biden should divulge if he plans to divert doctors from Veterans Affairs for use in treating illegal aliens and border crossers. This has been kind of boiling under the surface recently. Look, we made a promise to our veterans. Let's keep those promises to our veterans. WorldNet Daily, two fake police tried to subvert Joe Biden's security detail. The FBI arrested Arian Taharzadeh and Haider Ali. I wonder what we should investigate. Both of Washington, D.C., Wednesday on a criminal complaint charging them with federal offense of false impersonation of an officer of the United States. Apparently, they were lavishing gifts, and they pretended to be officers working for the Department of Homeland Security and used it as an attempt to buy off members of Secret Service. This is very odd, a very odd story. And Travis, I got to tell you something. This is actually really disturbing. If they're putting out stories like this about how the Secret Service was maybe easily compromised. Are they trying to set up a narrative right now? I hope not. Very, very disturbing. All right. Also on the regional front, Washington State passes law outlawing combustion engines by 2030. Now, it really isn't a law outlawing it as much as it is a targeted goal inside what looks like the $16.9 billion package. I know that they ultimately want a law banning combustion engines. I get that. This is a target goal. A target is established for the state that all publicly owned and privately owned passenger and light duty vehicles of model year 2030 or later that are sold, purchased, or registered in Washington State be electric vehicles. All publicly owned and privately owned. This coming at a time when we actually need to become more energy independent. Do you think this might be intentional? Back onto the national front, coming to us from Human Events. President Biden brings Obama back to White House. And then was called Vice President Biden again. I'm telling you, this looks very clear that they're setting up Biden to be removed from office, resign, whatever. That they're setting this up, that he be removed from office. The Hunter Biden laptop story coming out. Now, they're actually on the Democrat side talking about his cognitive abilities. You know, this looks like it's being set up. So how would this work? Well, Obama obviously can't come back as president, but he probably could come back as vice president. So just think about that for a second. Now we're going to end back on the national front with the National Pulse. Dozens of Disney employees have been arrested for child sex crimes. Travis, if you could pull this article up again, it's at the National Pulse. Dozens of Disney employees have been arrested for child sex crimes. So this stems over this whole debate over this bill. But a 2014 report from CNN had highlighted the company's problem, they say pedophile problem, noting that at least 35 Disney World employees have been arrested in the eight-year period since 2006 over alleged child sex offenses. So far, a total of 32 of those have been convicted. So then it goes on to list a bunch of these things. Look, it's no huge secret that child traffickers are going to be luring and drawn toward places where kids congregate. It's not rocket science here. But we have to recognize that there actually is a problem that we need to take seriously all across the United States of America. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us and supporting us. There are some Ukrainian refugees that are going to be coming to Spokane. And a lot of people have been asking how to help. If you can message us on Facebook, and we can connect you with the right folks that are going to be helping some of these refugees right now that they literally have no homes to go back to. I'm coming from Kharkiv, Mariupol, literally no homes to come back to, and they are in distress. So as Christians, we're going to help folks in distress. All right, you can also find us on Gab, MeWe, Getter, at Matt Shea, and also on Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. Remember, in this time, be praying, but also be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and get out there and take action. All right. It's my pleasure to introduce Officer David Gonzalez. He's a student resource officer. He investigated predators using fake social media accounts. What he found was shocking. Now he teaches children and parents the ins and outs of internet safety. Officer Gonzalez, first of all, thank you for your service and thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, you're very welcome. And it's Gomez. I get confused with Gonzalez lots.
All right. Well,
Thanks for having me.
I apologize, Officer Gomez. Again, thank you for your service. And, you know, there's a huge problem that's out there. And I would like it if you could take a little bit of time so the listeners really understand the scope of this issue and the scope of this problem.
Oh, it's such a giant issue. It's hard to explain all the different things, but basically everybody's giving their kids cell phones at very young ages for either as babysitters or to keep in touch with them all the time. And what's happening is kids are being raised. All their values are being inputted into these kids by social media. I always ask parents, hey, look, how much time do you spend with your kids versus all these strangers on social media that spend time with your kids? And values are being reprogrammed. They're being, you know, emulated by all these kids, and they don't know anything different than what's happening. And parents are so far behind this new technology age, and they're allowing these kids to blindly go on social media that parents do not understand.
Are we talking dozens of cases, hundreds? I mean, how, and especially like in this area, I think, you know, Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Western Montana, people say, ah, it's not really that big of a deal, but it really is that big a deal. Can you give us an idea how many cases we're talking? How big of an issue is this?
Thousands of cases. And so here's the numbers I give people. And adults have a hard time understanding this number, but I tell parents, hey, look, by 11th grade, 70 to 80% of the girls have sent out their nude photographs. By 8th grade, it's at about 50%.
Man.
Now, we as police, we're taking reports from 7, 8, and 9-year-olds who have sent out nude photos because they're being groomed online.
That is incredible. And this is just a matter of course. And these numbers are probably low.
Correct. They are low, and I get these numbers. You know, myself, I'm in the schools every day. I'm talking to kids every day, but I get school resource officers and parents that call me from all around the country. In fact, all around the world every day to confirm some of these numbers, and they tell me the problems they're having. So it's absolutely happening. And if you do some searches for how many internet predators are being arrested, man, it's hundreds and thousands every day.
Oh, that is, you know, and how do we keep up with this? And I think that the question too is, what are some signs parents can be looking out for, especially with their young children, that they might be the target of some of these things? How do you advise parents on this?
So first of all, I tell parents, spend time with your kids. That's going to be the biggest fix to all of this. Time spent with kids. The second thing is monitor what your kids are consuming as far as, you know, we used to do it, television it used to be, but now it's social media. Monitor what your kids are doing for social media. There's checks on the phones. You can see how much battery was spent on each application. And we're finding that kids, even, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds are spending 12, 15 hours a day on their cell phones. That is a ridiculous number. But I tell parents to watch out for mood swings, anger issues. You know, if you try and take away Fortnite and they try to bite your finger off, it's time to change. If you try and take away their Snapchat or anything and they come up with a big attitude, it's time to make a change in the house, for sure.
For sure. I mean, just in the general psychological health of our children, let alone the access to potentially harmful material and predators that are seeking them online. I want to ask you specifically about your investigations, setting up fake accounts, watching the interactions that are happening with real people. These stories are very compelling. Can you give the listeners some details about how, when you set these things up, what happened and kind of the process that occurred after that, as much as you can without compromising, obviously, any active investigation?
Yeah, so we initially started, we got one person in our city. You know, we had a city of 100,000, and we had one internet predator with a real victim. So then we thought, well, let's see what happens when we set up a fake account and see how bad it is. Well, we set up like 15 and 16-year-old fake accounts, and we got so many people that hit those accounts that we had to drop the age until it was 12 and 13-year-olds. And even then, we were getting hundreds every week of adult men who wanted to converse and meet up with our fake 12 and 13-year-olds. And so we started setting up meetings. And what we found is, you know, every person, and I mean 100% of them would show up. Once they said they were going to show up, 100% of them showed up. And almost every one of them at some point during the conversations, well, I don't want this to be like To Catch a Predator. So they were aware it was wrong. They knew what the chances are if it was a fake account, and they still would meet up with us. And so what a lot of people don't understand is when one of those guys meets up with us, it takes years to clear that case, because now we do search warrants on their computers, their homes, and when we get that data back from the social media companies, there's always real victims. So now we have to call all around the country, hey, would you go talk to this kid? We think they're a victim of a sex crime. Would you go talk to that kid? And then we have to go to court. We have to write reports. We have to do a lot of follow-up. And each follow-up leads to more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. So it takes years to clear each one of these cases. It's super resource intensive.
So are these typically from the immediate area, or are they generally from outside the area? I mean, how does that work?
They are worldwide. I mean, we were going after ones in the area that we could do homework on and know what we were getting into. But I get reports from kids and adults daily who are being groomed and or sextortion from worldwide areas.
So explain that last term so that some listeners that may not have heard of that before, what does that mean?
Okay, so sextortion, here's the way it works. Somebody starts talking to you online. It's usually some good-looking person, boy or girl. And then they say, hey, look, I like you a lot. I'm going to send you some nice pictures. I want you to send me some. And they usually start easy with a topless picture. Then they go to full nude pictures, and they exchange that with whatever user it is, whether it's a 9-year-old or a 29-year-old. Well, once they have the nude photos of the victim, then the next day they send them a message. Hey, look, I've got this naked photo of you. What's it worth to you if I don't send it to your grandma, your grandpa, your coworkers, your boss, your wife, your kids? And then they want money. And it's usually, you know, they start with a big number. Hey, send us $10,000. And when you say, I don't have $10,000, okay, send us $500. If you send them money, whatever you send them, the next day or the next week, they're going to want $500 more. And they will bilk a victim until they have nothing left. So that's extortion.
Wow, that's horrible. So what are the avenues and how do they target? What internet things do they use to target through? How does that work, and how can parents be on guard for that part of it?
So for adults, they target adults on Facebook. They target them on Tinder. They target them on adult applications. For kids, they target them on Roblox. They target them on Snapchat. They target them on TikTok. They target them on Instagram. Parents have to be just talking with their kids. Snapchat and TikTok, I would personally not allow until your kid was 18. There's so much just straight pornography on there that those are 18 and older. Instagram is getting worse by the day, but parents have to sit down, look through your kid's phone, know what they're doing, know how they're talking, be a family, right? A lot of parents don't even know who their kids are anymore. You have to spend some time with your kids, right? Let's have a phone-free dinner. I always tell parents, hey, have a 7-day phone-free challenge, right? A lot of parents, what they realize is, man, my kid is much nicer with 7 days phone-free. Some parents will never know what their kids are like 7 days phone-free.
You know, Officer David Gomez, I think that a lot of adults could do with 7 days phone-free and see how that might change our culture. I don't know. I would like to
absolutely.
I'd like to ask real quick, too, about Telegram and Signal and some of these other encrypted messaging applications. Are those also being used for this, or is it primarily these social media accounts?
They're primarily using the social media accounts, and almost everything ends up on Snapchat because Snapchat automatically deletes everything. And even with search warrants, I cannot get the information from Snapchat.
Yeah,
so it's quite secure, but almost everything ends up at Snapchat, no matter where we started, whether it's Discord, whether it's Roblox, whatever it is. Usually ends up going to Snapchat because it's very hard for law enforcement to get the information on that.
Regarding schools, how prevalent is this at schools? Because, you know, even public schools, private schools, they seem to think, you know, we've kind of got a bead on some of this stuff where we're looking out for it. But how prevalent is it in schools right now?
Very prevalent. And right now there's a huge battle going on in middle school and high school between teachers and cell phones. I mean, now you can't even get kids to put their cell phones away. When teachers ask them to put their cell phones away, the kids just say no. But that's how bad it's getting. And they, you know, half the time they'll tell you they're texting their mom or dad, even though they're not. They just use that as an excuse. But schools are starting to be powerless to do anything about cell phones.
So let's say we have a parent. A parent has come across some things that are very disturbing. What is your recommendation for walking them through the process to deal with these situations? And ultimately, if they have to, report them to law enforcement?
So I always tell them, look at it. You know, from an outside person, there is a lot of spam that goes out, that's pornographic spam. If you think it's spam, delete it, have a talk with your kid. If you're not sure if it's spam or not, then call the police, have them come look at it, because there's a lot of real stuff, and it's hard for parents to tell what's going on. There's also, almost every state has an Internet Crimes Against Children division. So you can always send them screenshots, you can talk to them, they'll talk you through what needs to be done, and if it needs to go further, they'll send a detector to your house or local law enforcement to come collect data and work with you on solving the situation.
Regarding the kids, what are some techniques that you brief kids on that if they are targeted, if they run into it, what can the children do and how do they react to that?
So I have to form a relationship with the kids for them to believe me. Same thing parents are going to have to do. They're going to have a relationship. They're going to have trust from their kids. Next, what I do is I tell the kids, look, if you get something that you don't like, block, delete, and move on with your life. That's the first rule. But then what happens with that is sometimes they block, delete, move on with their life. Well, then that person will make a different account and come at them with a different username or a different account. If they see that kind of thing happen with persistent, then I have them come to me. Then I start fishing with my fakey accounts to see how bad this person is. But kids, they're pretty smart, but they're also very gullible. They're still kids. And they think they know when they see a predator. You know, and what I always tease them about is, look, I have you on my fake accounts. You guys don't even know who I am, much less a predator who spends way more time than I do making fake accounts.
So what are some characteristics of these predators as they're trying to engage in conversation? What should people specifically be looking out for as far as, you know, specific phrases maybe, or maybe techniques? What should they be looking out for that, hey, this person's probably a predator?
So the predators are always going to try and connect with the kids and explain to them how bad their life is with their parents, school, current friends list. They'll say, hey, look, nobody understands you like I do. Nobody cares about you like I do. Your parents, if they knew you, they would treat you a lot better. If you come hang out with me, I will treat you this way. If you do this for me, I will treat you like you deserve to be treated because you're such a special person. So you have the alienation of their friends and their family along with, hey, I can provide you with better stuff.
And then it moves into they want to meet or maybe give them a gift or they're trading pictures or something like that. Then the escalation occurs.
Yeah, the pictures, almost ever, they'll ask for pictures within like 30 seconds of meeting somebody. Hey, send me nudes. And kids will do it because it's just so ingrained in them. They're so desensitized to them. The kids will do that. I mean, I have kids that send nudes, and I say, well, who'd you send them to? Well, this person. Well, what's their name? I don't know. Well, what's their Snapchat name? Well, I can't even remember that. I'm like, you just send it to a random person? And sometimes kids think that it's safer to send them to random people because those random people don't know them. Unfortunately, they don't know that these random people are studying them and will blackmail them.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, about how predators study kids and what profile picture warning signs might be up there for parents to see that might attract a predator. What are predators are looking for in social media profile?
So predators are grooming your kids all the time. Let's take TikTok, for example. TikTok, if you put the plank challenge, I don't know who's familiar with the plank challenge. That's where you do the plank push-up position. You go from push-up to plank to a nice catchy tune. If a child, let's say a 13-year-old girl does that, she's always facing the camera. She does it in workout clothes. She's going to get her friends and family are going to like the plank challenge. Now she wears loose-fitting shirt where you can see down her shirt. She's going to get hundreds of thousands of views. So they are essentially grooming kids to be worth their body parts. Now, forward that, kids know, hey, look, I'm worth my body parts. Now people are going to start giving them compliments. Hey, look, you have these nice body parts. You have these nice features. And that's what kids have been groomed to know and like on Instagram, on Facebook, on everything. Even kids' own parents will put them on Instagram. And they're fishing for likes, and they're fishing for all these compliments. But predators do the same thing. Hey, you have the nicest features. I'm starting a collage, or I'm starting a photography thing. I would really like to take pictures of you because I just don't know that I've ever seen somebody with your beautiful features. And so kids fall for this because it feels good. It gives them, you know, their brain adrenaline bumps that they're accustomed to getting from doing social media over and over and over again for hours a day.
Hours and hours a day. And then it's just like it's nothing, like you said, and it ends up in some potentially very dangerous situations. Incredible.
Yes.
So,
because once somebody gets naked pictures, sometimes they will come stalking you. They will come with binoculars to the school to see you come out of school, to see you go home. They want to see what your parents look like. They want to see what your younger siblings look like. It becomes very dangerous.
Very dangerous. And that's where I want to talk a little bit about sex trafficking. Officer David Gomez, who is a expert on these issues and has set up fake profiles here in the Inland Northwest, and has seen thousands of these cases develop in worldwide. We have a sex trafficking issue all over the United States, but there is an issue here in the Inland Northwest. If you can describe for people out there who might be skeptical that there really is a problem here regarding sex trafficking, and that there are networks that literally go throughout the entire United States where people are moved around from city to city, so they can't really get out of the trafficking network.
Yes. So most people, when they think of sex trafficking, they think of, you know, some foreign country, they're kidnapping some people and bringing them and keeping them in a downstairs closet and farming them out for sex. What's really happening is kids are being desensitized by the thousands over social media. And the way that happens, when you hit middle school, when you hit high school, if you want to buy vapes or drugs or anything, you can either pay the straight out price, or you can pay the straight out price plus a nude photo, or you can have a sexual favor to trade for whatever thing. So a whole new monetary system is available to the kids. And now with OnlyFans, the application where you sell your pictures either by a monthly subscription or per viewing, I have lots of kids who are starting to sell their pictures. Well, this is setting them all up for sex trafficking. Okay, so now the kids hit 16, 17, 18, and they don't like their parents, as many kids, but, you know, even before social media, you get kids at 15, 16, 17, they think they know everything. These days with social media, a kid can just say, hey, I need a place to stay for the night, and they'll have some creepy people that will invite them to come stay. You know, especially the girls can get a low-level drug dealer, will have them, hey, come have sex with me twice a week, and you got a place to stay. And then what's bad about that is the kids get used to not having rules. They don't have to get up and go to work. They don't have to go to school. They don't have to do anything. Well, pretty soon the drug dealers want them to do more and more. They want them to make money for them. They turn them into, you know, prostitution. The kids don't even want to get out of that life, because I've had them at my house before, and I'll say, hey, look, stay here at my house. And these are like runaway teenagers. Stay at our house. Here's the rules. You have to go to school. You have to say please and thank you. You have to dress this way. And they'll do that for a couple of days, but then they're like, no, I like my sex trafficking way better, because they don't have to go by the rules. Especially where kids have had a rough life and have never followed rules, it's really tough to get them out of the sex trafficking. And then there are wandering bands of people, and what they do is they have a rap concert for young people. And then at that concert, you have recruiters who say, hey, look, hey, come with us. We're going to rent a van, go to Texas. We'll have you do some modeling stuff. They never get to modeling, but they start committing crimes. They start doing prostitution along the way. Well, pretty soon the kids are in a different town. They don't know anybody. They can't get any help. And where parents told them, hey, look, you're going to end up this way or that way, they're too embarrassed to tell their parents and get help. So now you have kids that are sex trafficked. And that lasts till about 25, 26, when the traffickers are tired of them. They will overdose them on heroin or meth and drop them at the hospital and be done with them forever.
It's almost too horrible to contemplate that that actually occurs here in the United States of America. But here it is.
Here it is. And we've had those kids at our house, you know, because we've taken foster kids. So we've had friends of friends come over. Hey, can I take a shower? Sure. Where's your parents? Why aren't you taking a shower at your house? And we started going over. It's like, yeah, I've been, you know, couch surfing for 6 months. My parents don't even want me. So we always offer them a place, but they have a hard time coming to terms with dealing with rules, with not doing drugs, with going to school, with all those things where it's super easy for them to just go have sex a couple times a week and not have to worry about anything else.
Officer David Gomez, in the last couple minutes that we have left, if you could tell the listeners where they can go to find out more resources and also read about your Facebook page, Officer Gomez, Truth About Youth.
Yeah, so my Facebook page is at Deputy Gomez. I'm actually a deputy and an officer. I work for two different agencies. And I link to all kinds of resources, all kinds of people. And I'm in the schools every day. I also travel around the United States giving talks. So I talk to other resource officers. So I kind of get the feel from the whole world, because I also have people in Australia that I talk to. So I'm getting tabs on everybody, on all the kids. I deal with real situations. I take real calls. I go after real predators. And I see their information. I see who they're talking to. I see how many victims they have and how crazy this is becoming, and how parents are providing the number one tool that predators use, and that's a smartphone.
And access to the internet.
And access to the internet. Yeah, as soon as they have the smartphone, they'll get access to the internet.
So if you were going to, in the last minute we have left, tell parents three things that they could do right now, what would those three things be?
Control screen time, spend more time doing family activities from get-go. And even if you start late, spend more time doing family activities and build your community up of like-minded people so that your kids don't feel like an outsider when they're actually doing the right thing.
Perfect. Officer David Gomez, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate you. Again, thank you for your service. Keep up the fight protecting our children.
You're very welcome, and thank you so much for having me.
All right. Officer David Gomez, Truth About Youth, and you can see him at Deputy Gomez on Facebook. Check it out. Share this stuff, and also watch the movie Groomed by our own Travis Plunkett about this issue. And see what the warning signs are. See what you can do to protect your children and identify when maybe they are being targeted by a predator. Super important. And I want to end the show today just talking a little bit about the need for good families out there that are willing and ready and able to help kids that are in crisis. There's so many people around the United States that I have talked to, they want to adopt or they want to get involved in foster care, but it actually is harder to adopt than most people even have thought imaginable, which is a sad commentary. And yes, there needs to be checks in the system and everything for adoption, but the fact of the matter is that there are so much need out there that as Christians, we need to be rising up to this occasion and meeting this need. So many kids in crisis, and like Deputy Gomez was saying, they show up and it's just about rules, and maybe they just want to go back or they're too ashamed to even talk to their parents. A lot of that is just pouring out love and accessibility for really good families to take some of these kids in and turn them in their life toward what God has called them to do, what their purpose is. Right now, when we had this whole situation where we went over to Ukraine to rescue the orphans, it was amazing how many people wanted to open their homes up, help with refugees or help in whatever way possible, even started opening their homes up for foster care here locally. We can never forget that the need is great and it's worldwide. Want to also mention a movie. Some say this movie is controversial. I don't, because it shows the raw reality of what is going on in the United States. And we were talking about some of that raw reality. And the movie is Who Took Johnny Gosch? And you'll recognize some of the effects of this story. I remember when I was a kid, I was delivering papers, but there came a time when paper delivery boys were no longer really allowed out on their bicycles early in the morning to go deliver papers. And this movie describes why, where that came from. So take a look at that movie in addition. And also today, if you get an opportunity, pray for all of the Christians in Ukraine. Pray for the Christians in Russia. Pray for the Christians in Poland and all the kids and everyone affected in the middle of this. And again, there are a lot of refugees that are going to be coming to Spokane. If you're wanting to open your home up to help them out, please contact us, message us on Facebook, and you can find us at On Fire Ministries. Just shoot a message. We'll be sure to get back to you. You want to be a part of this. And lastly, today, I want to talk to you about the next half year or so, going into October. Really strongly urge everybody out there that if you have not finished your food preparations and buying extra food to have on hand, I would do that now. There is very clearly going to be some inflationary spikes in food prices in Germany. Some food prices were rising as much as 20 to 50%. That's Europe, so it's already hitting Europe, and it looks like it's going to come here to the United States. The other part of that is that food has to be processed, and there is a bottleneck at the processing right now as well. So we want to be prepared for this. Try to get at least 1 year supply of food stored up, so in a crisis, we can really truly love our neighbors. And it doesn't have to, this isn't panic buying or something like that. Just be smart, cash and carry, Costco, wherever. Stock up and be ready to love our neighbors as Jesus Christ has called us to. And preparation, it just takes the fear out of everything. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.